This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
It's a fairly quiet end to the week, although it has been a very interesting one. Let's start with the first numbers that we saw today, which was the latest consumer sentiment data, which made interesting reading.
Yeah, it did. And the sentiment stuff, Johnny, in the recent months has been kind of an important one, right? People have kind of looked to it as as the soft data became very, very important to many market participants, because of course, there's this thing here where the hard data of the past with all of the changes made became kind of less interesting, and more so the forward-looking quote-unquote soft data, which is things like surveys and sentiment reports and inflation expectations. That stuff became very important. So this week, we also got some of that. As you mentioned here this morning, we had the University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment report. The actual number came in lower than forecasts, which is in line with, I guess, the recent trend that it has been going on, which is basically sentiment is in the dumps, people a little bit concerned in terms about what's going to happen next with trade and the dynamic of the economy that follows. So our forecast was for 53.1 in terms of the consumer sentiment report. We got 50.8, so it came in a bit soft. And they also, just to add context, revised that previous number up slightly. So kind of a mixed response here in terms of the consumer sentiment report. At the same time, however, what might be just as interesting, if not more interesting, is the University of Michigan's inflation expectations, which previously were at 6.5. Previously were at 6.7%. They revised that down to 6.5%. But then the actual number came in a little bit higher. We had a 7.3% inflation expectation. And you know, that's something to think about here. We've just kind of got to a point, I would say, where inflation seems to be on the way out, right? We're at 2.3% year over year on the CPI report that we got earlier this week, making some headway in terms of the inflation issue that has not just been in the U.S., but globally. We've made progress on that front. Oil prices are much lower than they were in 2022, and that has helped with the story. But this week, again, we saw more evidence of that with both the consumer price index and the producer price index, which shows wholesale prices coming down, suggesting that, again, inflation continues to moderate towards that 2% target. In that regard, I would say things are going pretty well. However, the challenge to all this is what happens next with the trade war stuff, because that's the big question mark for everyone, the Fed and everyone else, thinking about, hey, if we get a whole bunch of standstills in the trades, trade negotiations, if negotiations stall and are not quite progressing any further, there is that possibility that tariffs get reinstated, that these pauses are simply pauses, and then the drama starts up again. Just a quick recap in terms of the dollar index this week, down from its starting point, but still kind of a sideways price action move this week.
I suppose the question, Nick, is whether this week has made any difference to the outlook for the Fed in terms of rates, and whether the 2, 3, or 4 rate cuts that have been predicted over the last few weeks, whether that has changed. Of course, that CPI number was much softer than we first thought. Good news if you are waiting for a rate cut. But nonetheless, with all the uncertainty through the tariffs, who knows where we're going with that? It's difficult for the Fed to make any sort of long-term decision.
Sure, yeah. And that's the challenge here with this, is that the same concept that we've just discussed, the tariff uncertainty, to Kenny's credit, when we spoke on Wednesday, he pointed out that perhaps the Fed feels like they can wait and see simply before making any sort of rate cuts or decisions on monetary policy, simply because the tariffs themselves are on pause, and we don't know necessarily where those are going next. So I think it is fair to Kenny's point about, maybe wait and see is the mantra of the Fed. However, we did also, as you pointed out, inflation making this much progress does beckon in the other side of things, which is the criticism of people saying, well, hey, you know what? If you wait too long for problems to happen, isn't that being too late? And again, that has been the criticism of Powell. Of course, very easy to accuse someone of being too late on one of the very difficult tasks, which is to try and predict the future of the economy. It's a very difficult job that they have. However, there is the question, you know, if we are at a point where jobs data is holding up okay, but there is some material weakening in that side of things. Job openings have been declining for some time. And at the same time, we see significant inflation expectations or inflation progress. However, expectations for the economy outlook, consumer sentiment is down. Is that a possible, you know, negative catalyst that maybe the Fed should be looking at? That's there's a debate around that, right? Should we be paying attention to the soft data? Should we be paying attention only to the hard data and waiting potentially too long? That's been the challenge of the Fed recently. And there's criticism, as always, on both sides of that idea. We don't want to act too preemptively, but we also don't want to wait until something breaks necessarily before making a move.
We've talked about consumer sentiment and those figures that came out earlier. We've also seen investor sentiment numbers. What did that tell us?
Yeah, so on Wednesday night every week, there is a report done by the AAII Investor Sentiment Survey that goes out. And the reason I bring this up is that we just hit, Johnny, a record. I think it was 11 weeks in a row where sentiment from the surveyed respondents, and this has been going on since like the 80s, it's a long, you know, long-dated survey that's gone out. Well, the survey, basically for the first time in many weeks, dipped below 50% of respondents saying they feel bearish on the market. And the reason I bring that up is that we had hit a record all time in that survey's response history of bearishness, over 50%, people saying that they felt negative about the stock market going forward. So that finally shifted a bit here in recent times. And I thought that was worth mentioning because it does show in the stock market price, but you can see just an example when it comes to, you know, sentiment. By the time sentiment starts to go from pessimism to optimism again, you can see that the stock market is already almost back to its all-time highs. Just another lesson in markets is, you know, by the time you wait for something to be all clear, the markets are already way up.
So, Nick, what about the week to come? What are the highlights over the next few days?
Next few days, we've got Tuesday, we hear from Australia with their rate statement and monetary policy statement, as well as their cash rate, of course. And then we also hear from Canada. We get their CPI numbers. So that should be interesting. Both of those happen on Tuesday. Then we get into Wednesday. We have UK CPI as well. Should be interesting to see how that's progressing. Thursday, we get a whole bunch of PMIs from both Europe, the UK, and from the US. So that should be interesting. And then also, to end out the week next week on Friday, we are going to have retail sales from both Canada and the UK.
We look forward to speaking to you again. Nick, have a great weekend and we shall speak to you soon.
Thanks, Johnny. Have a good weekend.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.